After 8 years and 14 albums, the Jackson 5 left Motown when their request for more creative input was turned down. Minus Jermaine, who remained with Motown, the band joined the Epic label in 1976 as the Jacksons. The first album with Epic went gold, and rumors about Michael splitting from his brothers and going solo began to circulate.
One of the lawyers called me one day and told me to tell the other boys that they better start saving their money because Michael was going on his own. Michael was only 17 at the time. He hadn't graduated yet. And I told him, no. I said, you can't do that. And he said, well, why? I said, because I know you said that Michael doesn't need his brothers. I said, but right now, they need him.
Michael stayed on as the lead in the Jacksons, but was determined to spread his wings. Looking around for other projects, he was tempted by a role alongside Diana Ross in an all-singing, all-dancing feature film, The Wiz.
So there he goes to New York, and he meets with Sidney Lumet, who's the director, and they liked him. I think we're going to use this kid. They liked him, and they said, okay, you're going to be the scarecrow the whole bit. So Michael and I moved to New York together, and he starts filming The Wiz every day, and just the two of us in New York all alone. It was quite different because we'd never been away from home. It was our first time staying together away from home. So we stayed there until the completion of the film.
The Wiz. Ease on down the most dazzling road in town with Diana Ross, Michael Jackson.
We enjoyed it. We grew up a great deal being alone in New York. And I think doing The Wiz is what made Michael decide, I think I want to go solo now.
Although he made four solo albums for Motown, Michael Jackson now felt he was ready for creative control of his own solo album. All he needed was a producer, Quincy Jones, who shared his vision.
She's out of my life. She's out of my life.
Having worked with Quincy in New York from The Wiz, when he decided to do a solo album, that's who he petitioned. It's like, okay, you're the guy.
You have to talk about the cooperative of Michael and Quincy. You had Michael always pushing for a new sound, and Quincy, who knew always what was going to sell, you couldn't help but make a fabulous record.
They opened up the sound, where Motown sound, it was, you know, ostensibly considered R&B, but it was very, very pop. Quincy has said that when he first did the sessions with Michael, that he wanted to take the bubblegum out.
Released in 1979, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough went straight to number one. It was the first song on which Michael was the sole writer.
Michael was blossoming as a writer then. I don't recall ever coming into a session and the song not being finished. The song being, like, structure-wise, being written. It wasn't a drum track looking for a melody. It was a real, honest-to-goodness song.
Sometimes I hear him in the middle of the night and screaming. He'd jump up out of the bed and go, woo! You know, like, woo, and I thought, what is it? He said, he just got an idea while he was laying in bed, and he'd get up and he'd write it down. And then that's how he writes.